We greet you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome, everyone. We also desire an interest in your prayers this morning as we again look into the Word of God. It's been my prayer. I pled with God that God would just use this message to encourage us, all of us. It's already been said, and I really appreciated Brother Paul's emphasis on it's not just these three brethren, it's all of us. It affects all of us. There will be changes, but it can work out so beautiful, be pleasant, be a blessing. And I hope you're not here just to be a spectator, but you're really interested in the church. You're concerned. Thank you, Brother Albert, for what you shared this morning on light and darkness, and how important that is for all of us, where we go, what we do, that we're a light. I read a book just this past week. There was a lady in a place of business, some kind of gathering place. She was a plain, modest, veiled sister standing there. Another woman came in the room, walked over to her, and in an angry voice said, "You don't have to be so dressed to be a Christian." Sisters, how would you respond to that? The sister asked her, "Who told you that I was a Christian?" The lady didn't know what to say. She was being a light and didn't even say a word. But she spoke to that woman's heart and it convicted her. Just by looking at her, and I understand there's a balance there. There's people that can be dressed plain and be whatever and not be a Christian. But that's how that lady responded. So it's important. You know, I've been amazed how many times in a place of business, in a transaction, in something. You know, I'm challenged today with people come and say, "Hey, I'll give you cash for a job, and you don't have to give me a ticket." Ever that ever happens to any of you, brethren? Then you don't have to pay taxes. Well, I don't mind if people pay in cash, but I still want to record the taxes. I think that's integrity. I've been to places where they were drinking, and it's interesting to me when you walk up to him, they try to hide it. I didn't say anything. What makes a difference? So our light does shine. Brother Alex, I think you're the song leader right now. Where's he at? I have three songs that we want to sing today, but not all in a row. The first one I'd like to sing, 371. 371.
And see my from heaven and will forgive their sin.
Do we believe that this morning? That God hears our prayer? If we're really repentant and desire that He will forgive us, do we feel that in our heart? Do we have that peace in our heart that we really feel that? And, you know, I've often, in thinking about this verse and song, God's people called by my name, and you have a picture of this song that they're living in sin. How can that be? Yes, there are times when I look at my own life. Some of the scripture that I have been going through the last while, God points things, has been pointing things in my life that I have had to repent. God, I'm sorry. Those are some things that we want to look at this morning. I don't have any plans to look at the qualifications. We've been hearing about qualifications, and this morning I want to focus more on all of us. What does the word mean to you? How are you being fed from God's word? When you have your, how do you take that, and what happens? And I want to share from my experience some of the things that God has been speaking to me. And I hope that this can be an encouragement to us. I'd like to invite you to turn to Amos chapter 7. Amos was a man that God could use, and He used him. And I'd like to look at this chapter. Amos chapter 7. And this is talking about how Israel will be destroyed. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, He formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth, and lo, it was a latter growth after the king's mowing. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. Seems like here Amos is saying and reminding them, at one time Jacob was, when they left Egypt and all those people. Seems like Amos' heart cry here was, pleading with the Lord was, that he's small. There's not very many left anymore. And I know we have no idea what it would be like if grasshoppers would come in and just eat everything. But anyway, it seems like the Lord repented for this. What I think he's saying is that he changed his mind. He didn't go on with what he had planned to. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. Again, we notice the Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more, and the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." Does anybody here today, this morning, know what a plumb line is? Did you ever use one? Better known to us as a what?
Plumb bob.
Children, do you know what a plumb line is? I brought one along. You carpenters, how many of you enjoyed using a plumb line? Some of them are shaking their head. See this? Can all of you children see it? Now, what would you do with a plumb line? Now, here it talks about, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line." So what do you think about this wall? Carpenters, what do you think about the wall?
Straight.
That it was straight. He stood upon the wall, and I take it, with a plumb line in his hand. Now he stood upon this wall and he had this plumb line. Now, children, that weight, that thing is heavy down here. That thing is heavy. So when you put it down, now, Donnie, when we had the construction crew, Donnie was very, very particular. So he would never trust me to just hold that and get measurements or anything straight when I was holding it. Why? Because I couldn't hold it straight. Even on a windy day, we had to be very careful, right? Because the wind could blow it a little bit. So now Jesus, the Lord, it says the Lord, stood on this wall, and he a plumb line in his hand, and the Lord said unto me, "Amos, what seest thou?" And I said, "A plumb line." So this is what I'm thinking, what they saw. Now, if we use the plumb lines, we would nail it on the board as high up as we could go. We would fasten that. And we would give it some time. Then you could measure off of that if you wanted to get something straight, or hold it beside a post and you can get something straight. Now, I've been noticing, I don't know how many of you go on our road, it's quite the circus over there right now. People coming in and out, sometimes there's looks like a car dealer parked out in front. But there's one place in front of Mark's house, between us and Mark's house, right beside the road, there's a pole there. And I can see that pole from the shop where I'm working. And almost every day, sometimes 3-4 times a day, people stop there and they have this long stick. It's not a stick, it's some kind of a instrument. Has a round thing on top, and they stop there. Sometimes they walk all the way from our driveway over to it. Sometimes they park down at the barn and walk to it. Well, what are they doing? It's a reference point. They stop there with their instrument, and I don't know why they have to do it so often, but they pick something at that spot that doesn't move. Doesn't matter how windy it is, doesn't matter if it's raining, doesn't matter. It always stays there. So they put their instrument up there, and I don't know if they zero it out or if they get a reading there to use in their up and down the hills, across the bottom, across the creeks, to mark where they want to dig to put the pipeline. Is there something here that we could learn from this plumb line? If you use it right, it stays straight. And the Lord said, "Behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore." I take that to mean He's going to set up a plumb line, and it's up to you if you want to measure yourself. See if you're straight, or see if you're crooked, or see if you're leaning to one side, or if you're not producing, or you're not productive anymore, or your life is not vibrant anymore. You measure. This morning, we think about this plumb line. If it's used right, it works. Now let's go on and read the last part. "Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of all their land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, Prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and the sons of thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line. And thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall not surely go into captivity forth of his land." Now, this morning, for whatever lesson, always limitations, that we can think about the plumb line. But this morning, I am so thankful that the word of the Lord, it's forever settled in heaven. It will not change. And we can compare ourselves or look at ourselves in the light of the word and see how our light's shining. See how where we're at. And I appreciate that. Now, the Lord has been speaking to me, and recently I went through, when I'm going through Psalm right now, and I came across, Psalm 40. And I just want to quickly look at that again this morning. I think sometimes if we just stop and dwell on where we have been, what our life has been like, and where we're at today, are we growing or are we going backwards? A song of deliverance in Psalm 40, the first 5 verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Do you remember that time that God was speaking to us? We cried out to God, God, I need help. I need help. And what happened? He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and establish my goings. Out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. Quite a difference there. If you would talk to Dwight about miry clay, he could give you some real lessons on what it's like to clean his pond. That sticky clay, I've been trying to drain my pond this summer. And you sure don't want to step in that stuff? It sticks, and it's hard to get out. But he pulled us out of that pit and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now, isn't that amazing? That new song that he has put in our heart. Oh, I rejoice these younger ones that have made a decision for the Lord. And all of us, as we daily seek and follow him and experience that new song in our heart, and how it doesn't just bother us or affect us, but it says, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Isn't that amazing? They're more than can be numbered. I mean, we can't even grasp or fathom all the things God's thoughts to us, his thinking about us. You know, I've experienced in my life, if there's times that I am guilty about something, I feel down. I am down on myself. And I can't imagine that God would think anything good of me. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. That's amazing. That's an encouragement to me that I find in the Word of God. When I read that again just recently, and just stop and meditate, God, that is so amazing. And that's the condition that I would just, that would be my prayer, that we could experience that this week. Not just this week, but just especially this week, as we wait on the Lord, as he reveals to us to give our voices. And as the three dear young families, as they wait and accept, surrender, and yield to that call. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15. Brother Alex, could you lead us in 371? I'm sorry. 356. For Christ and the Church.
Let us yield.
strive to save. For the church's blood hath purchased us. Lord, make us pure and brave. For Christ and the church willing of priests make time and talents and gold for the dear Master's sake. We will render the best we can bring to Him, the heart's wealth of love that will never grow dim. For Christ our dear Redeemer, for Christ who died to save, His blood hath purchased. Lord, make us pure and brave. For Christ and the church, let us cast aside by His conquering grace chains of self, fear, and pride. May our lives be enriched by an aim so grand, and happy the call to the Savior's right hand. For Christ our dear Redeemer, for Christ who died to save, for the church's blood hath purchased. Lord, make us pure and brave.
Thank you. A beautiful song. If we really stop and paid attention to the message in this song and our prayer, make us pure and brave. When we read these verses here in Romans 15, the first six verses, I want you to get a picture. Just think about this as being a church, about being our church, about being us individually. This is our attitude. This is our heart. This is our desire. The church is the apple of God's eye. God loves His church. And Christ is coming back for His bride. We don't deserve that. And He wants a pure and holy and spotless church. Think about the church when we read this portion. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, I don't know if you would consider yourself strong. Sometimes I feel very, very weak, that I need help. But I think I'd like for us to get a picture of we're, as a church, we're here to help when there's a need, when there's someone struggling, when there's someone down, when there's someone needs help, we're there to help. We help each other and not to please ourselves. That's what the tendency that people go for today is to please themselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And that verse just really stood out to me when I read that recently. These things that were written, these things that we can learn in the Old Testament, the things that we see in the New Testament, and as we allow the Spirit of God to talk to us and just show us, we're really concerned and interested in our life, in what's going on in here, in our attitude. It says that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To me, when we think about that, if the church, if we can feel at peace and feel that, that's what God wants for us. As we continue to wait on Him, you know, I'm so thankful for the practice that we have. Look ye among you, we have practiced that. We still follow that pattern to consider. You know, we don't see any signs out. Vote for me, I'll do so and so. But we're broken. We would not even think about putting a sign out. You know, when we went to Montana this summer, somewhere soon after past Boone, Missouri, where Travis's parents live, from there to Kansas City, to Jefferson City, and on up the line. I don't know how many billboards, great big billboards, way high up on a pole. Some of them were just one, two, three, four in a row. And on the other side of the road, the same man, the same person. And guess what it said on there? I got this. Everyone was the same.
Yeah.
I got this. I was looking for billboards that said, that had a verse on it from Christian Aid Ministries. I was looking for those signs. And there was 10 of us in the van. And we had a good time. And I finally said, what does he mean I got this? Disgusting. Then you see a billboard with maybe three or four people on there. They look big and strong. Did you have an accident or an injury or something? What are they trying to do? So someone has an accident. It was a mistake. And sometimes it was a mistake. And sometimes it was a dumb mistake. But what are they trying to do? Take that mistake and sue and... Oh, and I asked my brothers, I said, now, all those signs that we've seen coming and going, I have no idea how many are worth. But do you think those signs were free? How much did it cost them just to put, I got this. I'm a lawyer and I can handle this case. That's not how we do in the church. Praise God. We're waiting on God. We want His will to be done. It's not that anyone is asking for this. It's a serious thing. Someday, we're going to face God. We're going to face Him face to face on the day of judgment. How will we give an account? Brother Alex, could you please lead 301? Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face. Should that just make us to just cry out to God and spend time in just seeking His face in time of prayer and fasting? And where are we at in this plumb line?
Thou art.
This morning is, if there's anyone here, you're struggling with something in your life, you don't have peace, you're not ready to meet him face to face, find someone. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. Make things right. I'd like to close with the verse in our Sunday school lesson today. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all. May the Lord bless. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.